I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson's Secret 2. This week, I'm joined by the gorgeous Angela Scanlon, and we're about to deep dive into your early childhood. We're about to get balls deep in Ireland.
Balls deep in Ireland. Balls English deep. Have been doing that for fucking years.
Oh, yes, you can. It's talking out. It's not a political podcast, Angela. Stop it.
We don't have time for that.
I also don't think I have like the minerals. Like, I instantly started to sweat when you said that.
Fine, it's fine. You're off the hook. God.
Where are you talking to? We're from now, just so I've got some
London.
Yeah.
So I live here. Everyone thinks I live in Ireland because I do take a lot of green pictures when I'm home, and I get a bit misty-eyed and awkward about being away. So I like try to make sure they feel I haven't left. You know what I mean? Also, I do a chat show from home, and I call Ireland home, even though I've lived here for 10 years. So yeah, it looks like I'm home a lot.
No, but then I think it's so. As someone who's not like obviously from London. Yeah. I really struggle, like, it's almost like having a
you really
second
struggle
child.
What in London?
No, I really struggle with like. This is how I describe it. It's
go
like
on.
having a second child. So Newcastle is my first child, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And
okay.
I absolutely love it. It's always going to be super special to me for loads of reasons. It's the first. It's, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then I have this second child, which like, wow, is actually also really class.
Yeah, but you're and not like, allowed to say you love it more.
I can't
definitely
say it.
No.
Well, absolutely. And I don't love it more. It's different. I love it for different things, you know.
Very diplomatic, yeah.
Yeah, I'm able to do my career here really easily. And I've got like, oh, the capital city on my doorstep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but then, oh God, but the first child's still so special. You can't feel any less special. So when I'm talking about my life in London or how I'm always a little bit conflicted. And I feel like that's probably your headspace too.
100%. And it's funny because as you mentioned, I have two daughters and I was always a little bit fearful that when the second would come along. Also, I'm a second of four. Oh. So I didn't know if the reality of a second child coming along and I did actually love the first one more, I would realize that potentially that was how my parents felt about me. And the reality of that would suddenly become really, really unavoidable.
Hard to deal with.
So, like a lot happening, right? Anyway, as it turns out, and friends of mine were like, your love doesn't half when you have a second child, your heart doubles. I was like, okay, thanks, Emil.
Your friends sound like right knobs.
But also true, Vicky. Okay. You'll become a Mac to me now when you thaw those second batch of eggs and you're like, honestly, do I have capacity? And I'll say, babe, your heart doubles, okay? Lean in. But I think with London and Dublin, so what I've started to say to my eldest is, when I'm like, I love you guys so much, both the two girls. And then I'll say to her, you know, I've loved you the longest and that will always be the way. Okay. So it's not like a preference. It's just a factual statement. Yeah. And so Ireland, I have loved for longer than I've loved London. So I can always...
You're so clever. That is such a brilliant way of putting it. Yes. Diplomatic, true, factual, not
exactly.
Leaning too much into the emotive.
Yeah. So you're like, do you know what? Ireland like is special because it's like my longest love affair. And then, you know, London's exciting. I mean, I'm conflicted about London until recently. I found it really, really hard. Yeah. I came over here like almost on a whim. I couldn't get an agent in Ireland. And so I was like Googling agents in London, somehow got so bloody lucky and was like, oh, we'll just see what sticks. And so I hadn't committed to London. I was over and back, basically pretending to people over here that I lived here, pretending to people in Ireland that I lived there, and kind of being double jobbing. Exactly. But it really did take a while. When I actually committed to being in London, I found it so incredibly, suffocatingly lonely. Yeah, and people talked about it being, oh, it's a real lonely city. And I just thought it was so pathetic to admit that. I was like, come on, I can hear people talking outside everywhere. My window. They're everywhere. How can you possibly be lonely? And that felt like a massive failure to me. And it was not an option for me to ever leave without conquering it, as I felt. I was like, I can't go. This feels like it's got the better of me. And it really took a long, long time for it to feel like I was at home or I had a sense of ease or, you know, comfort in London.
Is your fella from
Irish.
London? Irish. Oh, you see? So
double
what was
whammy.
That? Did he come over with you? Or did
I
you
dragged
meet
him,
on your
him over. Yeah. Dragged him
kicking
over.
And screaming.
Literally kicking and screaming. And then the odd time I'd get a wobble and he'd be like, are you for fucking real? So if he's not from Dublin, he's from Cork, and he'd be like, excuse me now, I've literally moved us over here, you better make this work. My
you best fucking man up.
Like, do you know what, I really just want to move to Cork and set up a florist. I just don't know if I'm cut out for this business anymore. I feel like I'm much more, you know, sensitive and vulnerable, and maybe this is just not what I'm supposed to be doing. Shall we go to West Cork? And he's like, get to fuck. We moved to London, make it work. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Hey, Lizzie, just wondering, any work this week?
I'm back in the room.
Back in the room. Yeah.
I do exactly the same thing, mate. Like every time something doesn't go exactly my way here, right? Like say, we live in this really close, actually. There's only like 8 houses and it's very like Wisteria Lane. Just Housewives vibes. It's really nice. But you know, like there's always one, isn't there? And there is one.
Two doors down or?
No, it's fucking right across the road from us, mate.
Do they listen to this podcast?
No way. But if they do, I hope you know you're the fucking knobs. Honestly, they've called the police on Milo, like beautiful Labrador dog. Yeah. But described him as a dangerous rescue dog. Like, honestly, they've just gone length has been spared. Yeah. Okay. So anytime something happens like that, I'm just like, that's it. You wouldn't get this up north. Like, I want to go back. I want to open a deli. I want to call it Max and Milo's. And I want to hear the sea. And I want to see me mum every day. And this is this like spiral I go down. And Erkan's like, will you just fucking shut up?
Go into the room and meditate. But have a bath and fuck off, please.
No, you go, are you on your period? That's what I get.
That's so reductive, Erkan. But yeah, actually, it's due.
Yeah, fucking 2 days away, mate. Good shout.
I really need to get one of those flow tracker things again. It sneaks up on me every month, wallops me around the head. And you know, when you say you want to open a deli, that's what I want to do. So I studied business at uni.
You've had
business.
Loads of lives.
Oh, I'm 75. And
I just use Elizabeth Arden all over my face and knob.
And my fanny. You should see her. She's sparkling.
Like a mouse is here.
They are so soft though, I bet.
Soft and small. That's the the compliment there.
Okay, fine. Great. Good to know. But I did what, so now I have set up a jewellery business called Freckle, but that's like been a relatively new encounter. We're like a year in. But previously, I wanted to set up a deli with one of my best friends. And so we started looking around at premises. Now, sure, we hadn't been to Rub Together. I don't know what we intended to buy this bloody or rent this premises with. But anyway, we were like, we'd go sit. It was before coffee shops, but we'd sit with our notebooks and we'd be like, oh, yeah, we're going to do that. And you can build your own salad. And that was like really, really cutting edge at the time. And so all of these ideas. And we kind of, this one particular day, we'd you know, been looking at these properties and whatever else. And the realization that we had no capacity to set up a deli tomorrow. This is a longer reaching goal for us, as it turned out. And we went into a local cafe, like very local, and we're 15 years ago in Meath, just scene. So it wasn't like a sexy calf.
No.
And
there it's giving rumpsteak.
It's, yeah, that's generous. And so we went in and there was two L ones, is how I describe them. Yeah. Two like mature ladies behind the desk, behind the deli counter with white like butcher's coats on and hairnets. Okay. And so the two of us were edging along the deli, the front of the deli counter, and neither of us said anything. And then we both looked at each other. We sat down with our salads of like tinned sweet corn and iceberg yeah. lettuce and a bit of peppers, right? And we just looked at each other and thought, I don't think this is it, babe. And we were like, thank fuck, I am not wearing a hairnet. And that was it.
Good. Oh, was that the dream dead, mate? Was it
dead, but like nice, quick? That's yeah. the thing. I think failure or realization and then pivot quickly. Like, cool. Yeah. Don't.
I never wanted to do it anyway.
No, never wanted to do it anyway. I just wanted to make cold, hard cash and be like a business owner. You know, when I was a kid, when people would say, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I used to say, fuck knows where this came from, I want to be a businesswoman in a turquoise convertible with my hair blowing in the wind. Very specific.
That is a very grand image. Like, hello? Just as you say that, I'm like, oh, impressive. Tell me more.
I know. Like Diane Keaton in Baby Boom. That's kind of the vibe. I was like, you know, I'm going to do it for myself. I ain't going to need no man to buy me a car. I was very much a feminist at five, even though I didn't know how to spell that, how to pronounce it. It was not in the vocabulary in our home. It was like, no, fuck that. I'm doing it myself. Come on up here.
His dad's took Milo out on a walk, Ange, and so Max is just feeling very sorry for himself and just crying next to Mammy's feet. Milo, Maxie, do you want
which
to
is the eldest?
Milo, he's out for his walk. Max is still a bit small. Do you want to meet Auntie Angela?
Hi, Bubba.
Oh, he's fucked right off. Fucked right off. Well, look, do you want to see Ash's a lovely?
Oh, gorgeous. Oh, hi, what a gorgeous one. And that marble table is lush as well.
Oh, I mean, it fucking was. If I'd tell the cleaners not to use like chemicals on it straight
away. Did they ruin it?
Cut the whole top of it off.
Shit.
I know, and it wasn't cheap either.
Fuck me. And a mitered edge. I've learned about that recently.
Well, this is like obviously a really good segue into your show on the BBC. I didn't, mate, I can't believe. So obviously I got like all my research on you this morning and it was like she was a, but I mean, fair enough, you were an Irish dancer, but I kind of believe that's probably everybody in Ireland.
Oh no, I mean, I danced for 20 years, babe. I was hardcore. Yeah.
Were you ever in the river dance?
Was I ever in the river dance? It's not called the river dance. It's called river dance. But
sorry to everyone in Ireland.
No, I danced. So basically the dancing school that I was part of, 16 out of the 24 original river dancers were from my school. So we, as part of the school, got like permission to dance river dance. Nobody else could do it. So we used to tour around cradle of river dance. Yeah, we were like the babies doing river dance.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's actually mad prestigious, mate.
I know. And also still when I hear the music, I'm like, it's like something in my bones, my posture.
Just takes over.
Do I'm you like, here, back in the room. Yeah.
Do you get pissed and do it at parties?
Yes.
Yeah, good. That's pretty good. I wouldn't, our relationship wouldn't have been the same if the answer to that was no.
Yeah.
So you went from, so obviously you always had a kind of performing sense of like hard work and diligence, achieving streak within you.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, I was reading all the stuff you've done and I was like, Jesus Christ, like I wasn't joking. It sounds like you've had loads of lives. So you were like a stylist first. Is that right?
Yeah.
And what was the idea behind that? Was it always, I'm going to be a TV stylist?
Or no, absolutely not. No. So I studied business, obviously realised that the deli dream was not the one and thought, shit, shit, what am I going to do? And so then I probably kept this one out of my biog. I worked in doing invoicing for an anaesthetist and his wife.
I don't know why that wasn't on the old CV, but I find that very interesting. Honestly,
it's so glam. And so I thought, you know what, fuck it, maybe I liked, in my head, I was like, I really like fashion. And we came to the conclusion as a family, i.e. me and my mom, that maybe you could just get a normal job and like buy clothes on the weekend. I was like, okay, I mean, that seems quite sensible, actually. It was horrendous. It was the worst, literally the worst time in my life, worst time in my life. So and actually it was a really good lesson. If we're talking about gratitude and like putting a nice spin and reframing things, yeah. I'm really grateful because I was, in hindsight, deeply depressed at that time. Amazing. But it was a very clear message to me that I was like, okay, me having a wage every week is not the thing. Like that, the security of money is not what I'm driven by, that actually I'd much rather have less money or, you know, no money and
doing
figure
something
out
passionate
exactly
about.
That. Yeah. So that kind of became, you know, quite a driving force. Anyway, I started importing handbags.
Ooh.
And selling them on a stall in Dublin. So I basically...
Like handcrafted leather vibes?
Yeah, like Miss Bud was one of them. And then, shit, I forget the name of the other one, but I basically called them up. Again, Googled back in the day, you know, independent handbag designers, and found a couple of really nice labels, and then told each of the labels that I represented the other. And they were like, oh, yeah, I know them. And so I went to London with a bag, like with a bit of cash, with a like one of those granny plaid bags that Balenciaga now pay, charge you for. And I filled them and I came home and I got myself a spot at this stall, set up my table, and every Friday, Saturday, Sunday was in there selling my bags. And then I would go around to charity shops and find nice things and sell them. And then while I was there, started doing personal shopping and realized, you know, there was a magazine that was in this market. And one of the women who had set up the market was the stylist in the magazine. I was like, oh my God, I've read magazine. It never occurred to me that somebody actually put those clothes on that model. Fucking hell, that is a revelation. So I was like, how do I get a bit of that? So I then started assisting her as a stylist. And so I worked as a stylist and a personal shopper. And then while I was personal shopping, I got approached, like, literally, will you come on our show to talk about what Drew Barrymore wore to the Oscars on Friday? And so more in a trend capacity. And I did it, and it was live. And maybe because of my Irish dancing, I was like, 3, 2, 1. And like the live, the buzz was amazing.
Did you just fall in love with the whole thing?
I loved it. And I loved the terror. It was the first time I'd had that sense of like knowing deep down, you know, my dancing teacher used to say, unless your head falls off and rolls across the stage, you keep going. And so there was always this sense
it's giving
of
dance moms.
No, dance moms. But it's like this, the show must go on, you know? Yeah. So there was this kind of inbuilt, like knowing that, okay, I can do this. The live thing felt really like comfortably uncomfortable. And I had truthfully gotten really bored of people asking me, what should I be wearing this series or this season? Because I was like, I genuinely couldn't care less, babe. Live your life, whatever makes you happy. But that was not a satisfactory response from someone they were paying for advice. And so I thought, yeah, whatever, who gives a shit? I started basically developing and producing bits for telly, all in fashion at the time, but then, you know, starting to pitch other bits and pieces. And I pitched a documentary idea called Oi Ginger, which was exploring gingerism as the last remaining acceptable prejudice. And they commissioned the documentary.
Did they love it?
You should watch it, babe. I don't know where you'll find it, but it's probably on YouTube. And so that was my first doc. And then I did 4 after that. And then I did a series of 6 after that, that the BBC acquired. And then, yeah, that was kind of the beginning of telly for me.
I've just got so many questions. So first of all, you truly are a grafter, and you are like the master of your own design. Like, you can't say, oh, I was in the right, there's no, I was in the right place at the right time.
No.
Oh, luck, fate, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You fucking knew what you wanted, or you thought you did. You got your head down. You were resilient. You rolled with the punches. You adapted when you had to. Like, I just think that's really inspirational. I don't want to sound in any way like I'm not being complimentary about like slightly younger generations and stuff, but I sort of feel like really, really terrified about like what they're going to do. Like even with my partner Erkan, who is a bit younger than me and I consider to be a different generation, like I sometimes think they just think something's going to fall in their lap.
And
like I never had that. Granted, I do think I was lucky with Geordie Shaw. That completely
opened up
me. Yeah, it did, mate, because I wasn't as savvy or as pushy as you. I don't think I would have got to where I am now half as quickly if it wasn't for that opportunity. But
yeah,
I do sometimes think like, Jesus Christ, like I worry what's going to happen. They all just think they're going to be influencers or like,
but I think
Island or whatever.
Totally. And I also think there's such a I didn't want to do telly because it would make me famous. That's almost the downside of it for me.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it because it was ideas. It was like creative. Exciting. You were creating something. It was so exciting to me. And you were part of a team and you'd all arrive on set. And it was like, shit, we did this. This is amazing. Yeah. And so it was, you know, the motivation to do it was very different and the drive to do it was very different. But I think, so, you know, there's obviously a lot of chat about manifesting these days. And I really am, you know, like I think there's definitely something in that. Mm. But I think the packaging of that these days is sit in your hole, you know, whip out a nice little fancy Pinterest board, physical or digital, whatever you're into, pin it to the wall and then like sit there and eat fucking crisps and wait for the magic to happen. And it's like, no. That's not how it works. And I
need to action it.
Action piece is the piece that people are missing. You're like, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Unless you instigate things, nothing comes back. So you can have the ideas in the world. You can align yourself up for fucking magic. But if you're not actually getting your arse out into the world, then you're going nowhere.
No, then this is so weird. So I can't tell you how many chats I've had with my pals who I think they're busy women. They've got kids, they've got jobs, they've got fellas, they've got food to get on the table. Like, I fucking love me, mate. It's like salt the earth.
And it's a lot.
In school. It's a lot. So like, they'll just, I don't think they've quite got the head around the manifesting thing. And they'll just go, oh, yeah, I'll be manifesting that for you.
Yeah.
When I tell them I want a job or something, I'm like, I'm not quite sure that's how it works, pal.
I mean, also, will you send her on to me? That is power.
I'll be manifesting it for you. And I think your heart is so in the right place. I absolutely fucking love you. But there must be so many people out there who will literally just think, in order to get, you know, the man of the dreams or the promotion or whatever it is that is on their vision board, they've just got to sit at home and send out positive vibes.
Just like, write it down.
Yeah, or write it down, put it in your journal, you know. So no, I completely
And that's
agree.
Not to take the piss out of all those things because there's
not.
Validity in them.
Yeah.
Totally. And also it, like, you know, I think what they do is they focus the mind. If you're not sure where you want to go, they will maybe, you know, help you recognize. Clarity, exactly that. But the idea is that maybe you're a bit more open to opportunities. But I genuinely think it's, okay, what can I do this week? And actually, I listened to Davina McCall on a podcast recently. She's like, I'm still emailing producers. I'm still emailing them going, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? This would be a great idea. ITV, what about me for this? If this job comes back, I'd like to be in the mix. And you kind of think, most people think, oh, no. You get to a certain level, you've got to look a bit aloof and, you know, untouchable. And actually, I think it is that drive and that hunger and that openness to actually chase down opportunities.
To show that vulnerability and say, I still fucking want this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
that.
I'm never above that, mate. And like, I just think it would be a real shame if, and listen, I'm not speaking from a place of experience because I don't know loads of people from the younger generation. I really don't. I'm
a
cow. But I just think that hunger, that drive, that desire to fucking make something of yourself potentially, like, in a space that's difficult, that takes some work. Yeah. I don't know if there's that there anymore. And it would be a proper travesty, because when I meet women like you, or men, it's so impressive. It just gives you, like, when you meet a person who's hustled and grown and still hung, it's just, it is a remarkable thing. And I don't know, I'd be upset if the next generation didn't have some of those values.
Yeah. I mean, I think they do. I mean, it's maybe too wide sweeping, and maybe
it's
we're
a bit general.
Yeah, but also maybe we're going, oh my God, like we got through all of that and then thought, oh, I'm going to do a little bit of healing now that I've got time. Whereas they're going, I think I'd like to enter my life fully healed. Mm. And like, that's also a load of bollocks, because it's, you know, a never ending. Exactly. Like, you're always moving towards that. So I think the idea of sitting down and healing and then beginning is a trap.
Topsy-turvy,
It's like,
Also potentially the argument that I am actually just old and I've started to do the whole back in my day, which is really scary, but obviously a real option, actually.
Yeah. I think so. But I think it's fine. It's literally the gift of the elderly.
That's all we've got, and I'm fucking clinging to it, mate. We were better.
But you're straddling the lines beautifully. I mean, I'm at the point where I'm like, oh, I'm on TikTok. How the fuck does that work? I feel like you jump on board openly with gusto.
No, it's all smoke and mirrors. Like, my agent rang us and she was like, you need to get on TikTok. And I was like,
who does them for you?
So my hairdresser. So he's young and fun. And he's great on TikTok. Like, he's amazing. Thomas.
So do you like go, okay, I'm going to do a day now and Tommy's coming over. And
It's all about like stockpiling the content and then like almost like putting it out in an organic way. So people think like, oh, she's so young. When actually I had to fucking ring him just to find out how to post it again. So...
Oh my God, does Tommy work freelance by any chance?
Mate, he'd be all over that. He'd love to do some content I'll send you.
Please do. What's his race token?
No, seriously. Dead interestingly though, I'm really keen to get into the documentary space. Obviously,
you'd be fantastic.
I made the one with my dad last year and we've got some nice treatments in with Channel 4 and there's talk and buzz and all the rest of it. And like, you know, I'm not above fucking pushing. Like, I ask every month, like, what's happening?
Any news?
Have you thought about that one?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
But I'm just... I'm really nervous. Like, obviously that one I did with my dad was personal, Angela. So I felt like I had a right to discuss it. But you know, when you start to get away from the ones that you're like, very close.
Centered around you, kind of.
And it becomes, you're being recognized in more of a journalistic space. I have real imposter syndrome about it and I'm a bit nervous.
I think imposter syndrome is fine. Again, reframing it, rather than going, oh my God, it's this like thing that follows me around, like that's going to ruin my life. I actually think it's a signal to you that you're in a like deliciously uncomfortable space. Like if you don't have imposter syndrome, you haven't pushed yourself.
You're in your comfort zone, aren't you?
In your comfort zone, I think. So I'm like, imposter syndrome, get in here. Ride me like a pony. but I also think that if you think about it, it's different disciplines. But this podcast is you interviewing people about their stories with curiosity and openness and a lack of judgment. And I think that's often not present in documentaries, and it's what you need. You need to be a blank canvas to explore other people's experience, and I think you'd be really brilliant at that. And you're so empathetic. Is that the word? I always get slightly confused. like you're very, you can read people, you know, and you can feel what they're thinking. And I think, you know, when to go, when to leave space. So, I mean, you may feel like documentaries are new for you, but these are basically short documentaries in audio form.
I had never thought about it like that. I always just say, you know, my podcast is a lovely chat with someone I find interesting.
Bollocks, it's an interview. It's a short documentary.
Okay, fuck off, Louis Theroux, I'm ready.
You're old anyway.
Move over.
But I do think that it's openness and it's curiosity, and you either have that or you don't. You can be the shiniest, most fabulous, most, you know, super polished. If you are not naturally nosy and inquisitive about humans, whether there's a camera in your face or not, then you're not meant to do that gig. And I think you have that. I imagine, like, apart from Rosie across the road bitching about your dogs, you'd chat to anyone and you get to the nub, you know, pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I do have an obsession with human nature. Mm-hmm. And like, Erkan will come home and be like, oh, so-and-so, like his pals, he'd be like, oh, your son's broke up with so-and-so. And I'd be like,
why?
Yeah, sure, right. I'm still speaking. Was it amiable? Do you think we'll get back together? And he's like, Divina, like, they're just not together anymore. And I'm like, how is that all you know about? You're a friend of 20 years and he's breakup, like, fuck off. It drives me mental. Like, I do need to know everything. So yeah. I think,
you're ready, babe. You're ready.
Made us really excited. Mm-hmm. So I think you're similar to me in that sense, that you are a nosy face.
Nosy bitch. And,
yeah. And then that is why I feel like you're perfectly suited to your show on RTE.
So ask me anything.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And I had a little watch this morning, if you're one with Jedward, but I do know that was series one. And
that was series one.
Loads of fantastic, amazing, really exciting guests since then. Who's been your favourite?
Oh, I mean, this is controversial, but I had Anne Robinson on last year.
Weakest link, Anne Robinson.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. Oh, I don't know whether you like angel numbers, but look, 11, 11. Oh, it just changed.
It felt special. Felt like we had a special moment.
11, 11. Just go. Sorry. Anne Robinson was just completely unexpected. Who else was on last series? I mean, we had Rob Delaney on series one, Chris O'Dowd, Ashley.
I fucking love Rob Delaney.
He is nice. Wonderful.
I was just talking about him on the podcast the other day.
He's amazing.
He's an immense supporter of the NHS, and it came.
I
was like, he's just such an amazing man.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Unbelievable. An amazing writer and performer, and like just a really gorgeous human, actually. Very, very generous. And so he was lovely. Tom Allen was on this series. Too. He's fab. Has he been on this?
No, so he's not been on this, but
he'd be great.
He would be great. Well, actually, I'm in talks to do a different show at the moment. Mm. And they're looking at bringing someone on with some serious presenting chops, obviously. And his name's been bandied around. And I'm like, it's so early days. Like, God knows, but I was really excited. I wouldn't have met him once.
Oh, no, lovely combo. He's fab. That'd be gorgeous. So, I mean, we've had loads. Minnie Driver was on our last series as well. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with her.
I know. She's really brilliant and magical. She's very Hollywood.
She did this really great sitcom that I just thought she was far too good to do. But like,
called?
It was When Our Son Was in the Wheelchair.
Oh, that's only out very recently, has it? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And was it not great? But she was.
No, it was great. But I was just like, this feels not good enough for how amazing you are. But it was just, it all come together lovely, and I just thought maybe when you're as successful as she is, you can pick and choose things that you just think are fab.
That you actually really love. Yeah.
Going back to what you said, you know, sometimes it's not about the money and the wage. It is about, oh, this sets my soul on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's fab. But look, the show it's that kind of dream gig. It's a Saturday night.
That's big.
That show. I know.
I'm buzzing for you with that. That's fucking actually so class. Everyone in Ireland sitting down to you on a Saturday is.
I know. And I wear the campest outfits you've ever seen in your life. Yeah. It's ridiculous. But I love it. I absolutely love it. And it's the first time that there's been a female host in that main schedule. They've done Saturday night, female host, but in the summer schedule, you know, when the lads are taking a break.
when the lads are like getting pissed and playing golf in Portugal.
Exactly.
You can have a moment, hon.
Yeah. So it feels big for loads of different reasons, but mostly it's just been a fucking hoot. We have such a great time, like such a great time. And then look, your homemade perfect feels so different to that and is on BBC, but also on Netflix. So there's a whole other audience of young'uns watching that show who are like, oh my God, I love those goggles. How do I get my walls to move? When can I see the sun? But that's nosiness at the heart of it as well, you know. It's like actually being able to root around somebody's house and, you know, ask the question, much like you're like, what happened in the breakup? You're like, okay, so what's going on here? I don't think we just need a conservatory, guys. What are we into here?
has there ever been when you've been doing Ask Me Anything, a question you really wanted to ask but you weren't allowed?
No.
You've really just gone for it every time.
I've really gone for it. I mean, one of the ones that was doing the rounds recently, and I mentioned Anne Robinson, she sat down and we kind of toyed with this a little bit. And she sat down and I said, shall we get it out of the way? She was like, and I said, let's talk about your facelift.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, I've had a facelift.
And what?
And she said, what? 30 years ago. And what? Exactly. And she was like, why shouldn't I? She said, it is a service to women to tell them. She's like, I do Pilates. I have money and I have time to keep myself like this. And she said, I think it is a service to women to tell them, you know, it's the feminist thing to do is to admit what you've gotten done instead of pretending. Yeah. I was like, babe, that's a good spin. I liked it. I liked her openness, like her kind of directness, you know.
It is a good way of looking at it though, isn't it? Like, you know, she is being honest, she is being open, like, everybody's having nips and tucks and tweaks and things to make themselves feel all right.
She's in her late 70s.
No, mate, she looks fucking ridiculous for that.
Yeah,
that
is, and she's got like an insane. She's got energy as well, you know.
You know,
she's quite fierce. Who else? Mary Berry was on and was just, again, it was like the queen entering.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really interesting to see because they joined the sofa this time. So you can see everyone's demeanor changes and they're like, she's in the room. Everyone behaves.
It's a little bit straighter and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they wait. They don't butt in. They just like, you know.
Oh, she has an energy though. Like I remember being at like TV Choice Awards or something years ago now, and she was there, and they won for something, of course they did, and I couldn't help myself. I think I was still a little bit green at the gills, and I didn't realize you couldn't just bool up to these people
and lick her.
Yeah, just ask her about a soggy bottom. Like, it was just all so stereotypical and awful. But and I've got this picture, and I'll send you it if I can find it, but it's me just like standing behind her, like, she looks terrified, which is quite like a normal reaction to some fucking giant Geordie bird just like stumbling over to her being like, come and get a picture. And I'm just like behind her, like grinning from ear to ear like a gremlin. It's honestly awful.
Oh, I love again, it though.
No, I'll apologize on your behalf.
Okay. Well, you know what? Again, her demeanor, because she's quite polished, you think that would deeply offend her. She's mad crack. Like, she was talking about ending up in Ibiza in nightclubs. Yeah. And she's just like, she's super playful. And again, I just don't think you get to that point in this industry without a serious kind of grit and spark, you know. So she has all of that in abundance.
I watched somewhere where she sort of said she'd never had a takeaway, but she has recently had a like frozen pizza.
That I think that was on our show, actually.
Why would you
Also, she lives out the country. They're probably a bit limited on Deliveroo out that neck of the woods, you know?
Aye.
But yeah, she's done a frozen pizza, which feels like rock and roll, you know?
It feels a bit debauched the way she said it. It was like she'd done heroin.
Yeah. Frozen mushrooms and all on it.
Mate, I could sit and talk to you all day. And I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface on all of your incredible shows and projects and things.
But thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's been lush, lass. Just really nice to catch up. But just so I sneak a tiny bit of format in there.
Go on.
Yeah, and Vicky Patterson, The Secret Do. We always ask our gorgeous guests to give our lovely listeners a couple of pearls of wisdom. And sort of taking it right back to Joyrider, your fantastic book, I think it would be really nice if you told everybody your secret to being grateful.
My secret to being grateful? So is, I mean, I used to write them down, these things.
Yeah.
And they were big things, like big moments. And now I just try in every single moment to look around and go, oh, that was nice. This is a night, I call it a vignette, like a little moment in time.
Like
I don't need to
snapshot.
Like a little snapshot, but that I can actually appreciate in the moment. Sometimes you find, oh, it's only at the night when you write them down. Oh, that was nice. And that was nice. And that was nice. And I've been consciously trying to force myself into recognizing while I'm in it, that this is it. And so it could be, you know, a walk. It could be a cup of tea in bed. Although be careful, because if it gets your groin, you're fucked. But it could be, you know, a lie-in or a really nice filthy pizza, whatever it is. It's actually just mindfully doing it and going, oh my God, I'm so lucky. This is nice, you know, and not going, oh, that was nice. I did a podcast with Vicky P today, going, thank you. Thank you for like this lovely chat and for introducing me to all your gorgeous listeners and for, you know,
no, but it's so like, so yes, gratitude. I think everybody in its most basic sense, I've done that. Angela, like I've sat there at the end of the day. I did the, you know, something every week on a post-it note and put it in a jar. I did that.
Love it. Yeah.
And I did love it. And then my hairdresser and my makeup artist realized what I was doing and fucking wrote loads of fake ones and put them in the jar. And it really ruined it for us. They were very silly. Some of them were very rude as well. So I gave it that, but that feels, and it can potentially almost get a bit contrived, you know,
totally.
You sit down there at the end of the week and you're like, shit, I haven't done one. Well,
yes. And it can feel a bit empty and you're like, tick, tick, tick.
Forced. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, but if you slow down slightly and are more present in like your everyday life, then these beautiful moments, if you're not going so fast and, you know, trying to get the next, you'll actually recognize them and have a moment to be a moment of reflection to be grateful. So
I think it is that it's the feeling of it rather than just, oh, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. It's going, okay, pick one thing and like really feel into it. I'm so lucky to have, and I write about it in Joyrider, like waking in the morning and going, oh my God, this bed, these sheets feel so lovely in this bed, and having
and it's warm even if, and,
even if you've got like a hairy leg that you can rope up against that you're like, oh, you know, yours or somebody else's, and that you have this sense of like, oh, that's a lovely little moment. And I think sometimes we're afraid to really feel it in that moment and to really feel love and to really feel joy because the fear that it'll be gone. It's actually easier to just, you know, not let it in. Because actually getting really in touch with it then, I mean, for me, makes me immediately think of death. So I'm like, I love you, fuck, you'll die. Exactly. I've heard that. And it is those intrusive thoughts, but it's actually going, no, feel into all of the emotions, the good and the bad, and just let them properly in, feel them all.
Feel them all and be grateful for them all. Cause you know, the light, the shade, the ups and downs, it all just proves you're alive. And aren't we lucky?
Lucky as hell. Yeah. And it is usually the small things that you write off with your eye roll as like, you know, silly or hippie. Those are actually the things. It's usually 100%. Not the next big job or the fabulous thing that you've bought yourself or whatever. It is usually that little moment of intimacy or contact or connection with people.
Tiny wholesome bits, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it's the wholesome shit. I love an old wholesome Instagram dump.
I do, you know, and like I've got one from the weekend and like I'm really nervous about posting it because it's
put
not
it up.
Lost. It's not glossy, you know. It's not me in a bikini. It's not fucking
focus.
Something. It's just, yeah, fuck. And I'm putting it up, actually. Really
do it. You're putting it up now. And it's like a tree. And it's a bowl of soup that looks average but tasted like home. It's all that shit. Like, honestly, I have
It's green.
It's green. It's lovely. I have a bit in the back of the book, which I started doing this as a practice. And it's really, really helpful in my phone. When little moments would happen, I'd write them down. And like buttery toast, kind with holes where lumps of butter drip through onto the plate or onto your hand and you get to mop it up with the crust. There's something so wildly comfortable about this most simple of pleasures. Put it on a gorgeous plate or eat it off a crumpled kitchen roll. It really doesn't matter. The joy is in the oozy, drippy yellow butter and the airy soakage of a good loaf together. Magic. This is the kind of profound shit you'll get in Joyrider, guys.
No, but then, honestly, that was like porn for me. I love a bit of buttery toast. And it is like, we're not going to sit there on my deathbed and go, oh, fucking hell, I had X amount of Instagram followers. I looked
exactly
in a bikini and I smashed this job. You're going to go, I've got this amazing family, or I remember that holiday at the seaside, or, you know, like, that amazing. It's the small things.
It's what you get back from what you put in, and it's all of those things. Yeah.
So let's
that are hard to capture in Instagram.
So hard. The beauty doesn't come across in a picture sometimes. It's in your heart.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so
girl. Your heart doubles. It's doubling already before our eyes.
You're ready.
Don't put them on ice, babe. You're ready to go.
I'm so full of dopamine. I'm going to go before I say something else so cheesy. I love you, Angela. Thank you for a great day.
Bye, honey.
Well, that was the absolutely fantastic Angela Scanlon. I'm sure you could tell from that episode, I'm a huge fan of hers. I think she's funny. I think she's honest. I think she's one of the most talented women in our industry. I just absolutely love her. I feel like we could all be a bit more Angela. So I hope you loved that episode as much as I did. Listen, a book is out at the minute, Joyrider, and I meant what I said. It moved me to absolute tears. It's brilliant, searingly honest, super refreshing, proper funny, but also really helpful too. So if you fancy hearing more from her, then obviously follow on Instagram if you don't already, but grab a book as well because it's absolutely class. Have the best week ever. Vicky Patterson's Secret 2 is now on TikTok. We're obviously on Instagram. You get the podcasts wherever you listen to them. But if you'd like to enjoy them in a YouTube format, just head straight there. Have the best week, everybody. You deserve it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.